Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It's official. Today is the first day in the independent life of the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. With a sharp tongue and high moral dudgeon, Harvard professor Elizabeth Warren fought and coaxed the Bureau into law. But she's been passed over for the top job of director there, and the GOP and banking industry are still fighting hard, either to defang the new agency or to make it more accountable, depending on your point of view. This hour on Point Finance, the little guy and the fate of Elizabeth Warren's watchdog. You can join the conversation. Who's in your corner here, reading the fine print? What's at stake for banks, the economy, trust, and the little guy? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. In a moment, we'll hear from a protege of Elizabeth Warren. But first, joining me from Washington is Kate Davidson, reporter for American Banker, a trade journal covering the banking industry. She's been following the battle over the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the hearings, the policy fights, the politics, and the ongoing controversy. Kate Davidson, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So where do things stand today? It's 1 year since Dodd-Frank was passed. It's the first day that this agency, this bureau, is open for business. And is it fully functioning, Kate?
Well, actually, not quite. The problem, Tom, is that there isn't a permanent director yet, even though we have a nominee, Richard Cordray. The Bureau doesn't have all of its authorities. It only has some of them. And that was something that legislators had written into Dodd-Frank, that until someone permanent is confirmed by the Senate, they can only do certain things. So starting today, they'll be able to examine banks, supervise banks. They'll be able to go into the 111 largest banks. Smaller banks will continue to be regulated by their primary regulator. But CFPB will be going in and they'll be looking at banks' fair lending practices and sort of just examining how well they are complying with consumer finance laws. And a lot of those laws are transferring to them from other regulators. And this is the first time that we'll have a regulator who will be, their sole mission will be just to look at consumer protection.
Now, this would go to, if once it's up, if it ever gets fully up, once it has a director, if it ever gets a director, this would go to what credit card language and deals and mortgages, all of our interactions, consumer interactions with the banking world and non-banks eventually, Kate.
Exactly. That's the piece that they can't really do just yet. They will have the authority, hopefully eventually, or presumably eventually, to start supervising non-banks as well. So payday lenders and mortgage lenders, non-bank mortgage lenders. But as I said before, they can't do that until they have a director.
Now, you said it's not fully functioning at the moment because it doesn't have a director, but that's not by accident. I mean, Republicans are vowing not to let it have a director, as I understand it, until the whole thing's completely restructured.
That's true. They've laid out some demands. They really would like to see the Bureau run not by a single director, but by a commission. And that's something that was actually originally in the House version of the bill, an early version of the bill, but it was changed to a single director. So they want to see that brought back. They'd like to see it be a five-member commission made up of people that are nominated by the president, confirmed by the Senate. And they'd also like to see the Bureau, at least the Senate, Senate Republicans would like to see the Bureau have to go through the appropriations process. That is, Congress would have to approve the amount of money that they get to operate.
Elizabeth Warren yesterday, surrounded by Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer of Maryland, Barney Frank, whose name is on the Dodd-Frank bill, said it's ironic that tomorrow, that's today, there's another fight to try and kill this agency, another fight to try and cut the legs from underneath it. She's tough, and that's the way she's looking at it. Kate Davidson, stand by. Here was the president in the Rose Garden at the White House on Monday announcing that he had nominated former Ohio Attorney General Richard Cordray, not Elizabeth Warren, to be director of the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
I am proud to nominate Richard Cordray to this post. And we've been recently reminded why this job is going to be so important. There is an army of lobbyists and lawyers right now working to water down the protections and the reforms that we passed.
To water down the protections and the reforms, says the president, and he went on.
We are going to stand up this bureau and make sure it is doing the right thing for middle-class families all across the country. Middle-class families and seniors don't have teams of lawyers from blue-chip law firms. They can't afford to hire a lobbyist to look out for their interests.
No, but the banking industry certainly has. Tens of millions of dollars spent on lobbying around this issue in the last year. Republicans very firm that they don't like the way it's structured now. They want it changed. Hours after that nomination of Richard Cordray, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell was on the Senate floor saying Republicans are still opposed to the Consumer Protection Agency.
Republicans have voiced our serious concerns over the creation of the CFPB because it represents a government-driven solution to a problem government helped create. We have no doubt that without proper oversight, the CFPB will only multiply the kind of countless burdensome regulations that are holding our economy back right now.
And here's Elizabeth Warren herself, she who pushed so hard to get it started, who was not nominated because everybody said there's no way she'll be confirmed as director. Here she is talking with, on Monday, the same day of Cordray's nomination, with MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell. She had some tough words for Senate Republicans.
They have the ability, they think, to stick a stick in the spokes over letting the agency get going forward. And they're saying, in effect, if we don't get a chance to cripple this agency before it helps one single family, then we're just going to stop it from acting altogether. I have to say, I think that's just pretty astonishing.
So what exactly are Republicans asking for in regard to this bureau, Kate, that's not there now?
Well, a couple of the things I mentioned earlier, they'd like to see a commission. They'd like to see Congress be able to approve the Bureau's funding. They're also concerned about the ability of other regulators to override the CFPB's authority.
They want them to be able to, in other words.
Right. They're technically able to right now, but there's a council of regulators that would be able to look at any rules that the CFPB puts out, but they need to have a two-thirds majority of that panel in order to override a rule. And there's a House bill that would lower that threshold to make it just a simple majority. So it would make it a lot easier for other regulators to override a regulation.
So they want Congress to have appropriations power, which would give it a stronger arm over this bureau. They want a commission which would have presumably Republicans and Democrats on it. And they want oversight from outside the bureau. Why do they want those things? What's the complaint with the current structure, Kate?
Well, they just—they don't feel that the structure has enough accountability, and they've pointed to some of the other banking regulators. There are other banking regulators that have a commission structure. None of the other regulators have to go through the appropriations process, but they've given examples like the Consumer Product Safety Commission and other types of regulatory bodies that do have to go through this, and they really feel that it would be just more oversight. They've really been pushing that angle, that they think there needs to be more oversight and accountability.
Now, of course, the counter-argument is that what they're looking for is not really more oversight, but as you heard the President of the United States say there, to water it down. Other banking regulators have different structure, but then in 2008, everything fell apart, and many people said they were asleep at the switch. Wasn't that part of the reason that this bureau was given, the structure it has?
Right. That was definitely part of the argument, of course, from consumer advocates and from Democrats. They said that a lot of the powers that the Bureau has are actually powers that already existed. And they perhaps, the charge was that the other regulators really weren't enforcing them.
Cordray's nomination is being called dead on arrival. What about that? Do Republicans have the power to just put the kibosh on this thing moving forward in a fully alive and engaged way?
Well, it's complicated. They do have some avenues to sort of block this, but the White House also has some options. Republicans can, any Republican senator, any senator for that matter, has the ability to block a nomination by putting what's called a hold on that individual. And Senator Richard Shelby, who is the ranking member on the Senate Banking Committee, is pretty notorious for doing this. And in fact, a few months ago, 44 Republican senators had said that they would block any nominee to the CFPB unless these structural changes that we just talked about are made. So there's every expectation. They've reiterated that they are fully prepared to do this. Just because it's someone other than Elizabeth Warren doesn't really make them happy. They feel really strongly about these changes being made. At the same time, the White House also has the power to do what's called a recess appointment. So when Congress is not in session and a position needs to be filled, the president has the constitutional authority to appoint someone. And so there's a recess coming up. The Congress leaves for the month of August, and it's conceivable that they could try to, put someone in that position, put Richard Cordray in by using the recess appointment powers.
Why wouldn't American banks want more transparency and clarity in their interactions with American consumers, Kate?
Well, I think to a certain extent they do. One of the initiatives that Elizabeth Warren and the CFPB has started with is simplifying mortgage disclosures. And that's something that actually has a lot of support. It does have support from the banking industry because it would simplify some of the forms, that you have to fill out when you get a mortgage. And that's complicated for banks, too. It's a lot of work for them. So that's something that they've gotten behind.
But I'm reading here, this is from Albert Kelly, he's a chairman of the American Bankers Association, I guess, is at risk is the entire body of rules that has governed the development, design, sales, marketing, and disclosure of all financial projects. They're subject to change under the Bureau. But doesn't everybody agree that they've become kind of complex and difficult for consumers to understand? He's defending them. He says, we don't want them to change, but shouldn't they change?
Well, I think that part of what they're concerned about is the cost that goes into making all of those changes. That's the big thing that they've complained about, not simply with CFPB, but also with the broader Wall Street reform bill, that it will require and implement a lot of new rules. And all of that costs money. And I think that especially smaller banks are concerned about how they will bear those costs.
Well, the whole Dodd-Frank financial reform is still under attack as well and far from cemented. What's your sense here, Kate? At the end of the day, do you think we're going to have a tough consumer watchdog of the type that Elizabeth Warren envisioned here or something else?
It's really too early to say. I think, one thing that a lot of lawmakers have been saying in response to Republican criticisms is let's see what this bureau can do. Let's let them do their job. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Kate Davidson, reporter with American Banker. She's been covering the whole debate in Washington. Kate, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about American finance and the little guy. It's official day one for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Its founder, Elizabeth Warren, is out. It's still got no director, and it's under attack. Here was Elizabeth Warren in May talking with the CNN about her case for consumer protection. She wanted Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act of 2009 as the first real step in what the CFPB was trying to accomplish.
We want consumers to be able to tell what the cost of something is, in this case, what the cost of that mortgage will be. We want them to be able to see the risks up front, and we want them to be able to compare two or three mortgages with each other so they can know if that's the best deal for me. When we can deliver that, then we have consumers who are better informed mm-hmm. and making good decisions, and we start to have a competitive market in consumer credit that actually works to deliver lower prices and better products, just like it should.
That was Elizabeth Warren in May, but her very tough stance on protecting consumers and going aggressively at the banking industry when she thought it had it wrong got her in on the wrong side of an awful lot of people on Capitol Hill, Republicans in particular. She was grilled again by congressional oversight committees about the new bureau. She's given as good as she got along the way. Here's just one of those testy exchanges between Elizabeth Warren and here, Republican North Carolina Representative Patrick McHenry during a hearing in May.
Congressman,
I understand you can use the word congressman a number of times, Ms. Warren, but I'm simply asking a very simple question. Who you're providing advice to.
Congressman, there was a question on this from Chairman
I know. I'm
Backus,
asking you a question.
And what I want to do
is different than that, Ms. Warren.
Well,
if you'll answer my question, are you giving advice to any governmental agency outside of Treasury and the President? Yes or no?
She's out, but the guy she hired to do enforcement at the agency is now nominated. Odds of him actually being confirmed, not good at the moment. Republicans want a complete overhaul. We'll hear in just a moment from a longtime protege of Elizabeth Warren, but a couple of callers first, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Nelson, thanks for calling. You're on the air, Nelson.
Thank you for having me. I just had a comment. I think, actually, the question here is who is protecting the little guy? And I think it's no wonder that Republicans are actually sticking out for the big banks because they are the ones that fund their campaigns. This is no wonder. I think everyone shouldn't be surprised to hear about that. And I think it's long overdue. I actually happen to have done mortgages for a little while, and I was appalled at what I saw happen in that industry. So I think it's long overdue, and I do hope that actually the Democrats and Republicans come together because this is much bigger than just the industry itself. I think it's the little guy who suffers.
Nelson, I appreciate your call. Let me hold that perspective right there and get one more. Aiken, South Carolina. Edward, you're on the air, Edward.
Yes, hello, Tom. Thank
Hi.
You.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that I have quite the contrary opinion. I think that we don't need any additional regulation. The Todd Frank, from what I understand, hasn't even been completely drafted yet, and I think this sort of regulation is precisely what's hindering our economic situation now. Borrowing money from the banks is difficult enough at the current situation.
But you say we don't need additional regulation, but we saw what happened in 2008. The finance blew up, and it just about took the world economy down with it, Edward.
Well, I think that's largely because of policy by the federal government. Fannie Mae has already done enough in that regard to promote the housing, perhaps, to excess.
Yeah, no more regulation, please. Edward, thank you for your call. I want to go to Adam Levitin right now in Washington, professor at Georgetown Law School, specializes in financial regulation. Elizabeth Warren was a professor of his at Harvard. He was a teaching assistant for her there. He was also worked for the Congressional Oversight Panel on TARP, which she chaired. He's testified plenty on Capitol Hill, including just yesterday about the need for a strong Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Adam Levitin, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
What do you see unfolding here right now? There's the Bureau. It's officially in business today, but it doesn't have a director. It won't be Elizabeth Warren. Richard Cordray's nomination, many people are saying, will never come to confirmation. And there's a big call for a complete restructuring. What's going on?
Well, Republicans are right now holding Rich Cordray's nomination hostage for a Dodd-Frank do-over. They've made very clear that they won't confirm any nominee, be it George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, or even Jesus Christ. And given that, it's really hard to imagine an outcome other than a recess appointment for a director for the CFPB.
So a recess appointment would put Richard Cordray in there. Talk to us about him for just a moment. Is he tough? Elizabeth Warren was supposed to be quite tough. Is Richard Cordray the same?
Richard Cordray is an outstanding nominee for being the director of the CFPB. He was the former Attorney General of Ohio, and in that capacity, he was the first Attorney General to really begin looking into problems in the mortgage servicing area and to sue mortgage servicers over robo-signing and other documentation problems.
Here's a little bit, just to get the sound of Richard Cordray in our ears. This was back in 2010, while he was still Ohio's Attorney General, taking a tough stand then against several financial institutions over allegations of foreclosure fraud.
We need to know the scope of it, who was doing it, how many cases they were doing it in. The financial institutions know this information right now. We do not yet. We're going to be investigating it. They would be well served to come forward and cooperate with us so that we can move faster on this. If they drag it out, we'll get that information eventually. We'll use our subpoena powers. But we'd like to move faster and see if we can get a handle on this mess and get it cleaned up.
He's talking about one angle of it there out of Ohio in 2010. Adam Levitin, what are the things that perhaps in Elizabeth Warren's view, maybe in your own, need to be cleaned up to have proper consumer protection when it comes to finance in this country?
There's a whole range of consumer financial products and services that could use improvement. Simple one to start with is the bank is just the bank account. That the Pew Charitable Trust has a financial reform project, nonpartisan project, and they recently put out a study about the disclosures of deposit account terms. And what they found is that the typical deposit account disclosure runs over 100 pages and is not handed out to consumers in any single package, but rather is splintered in numerous parts. And it makes it very, very difficult for consumers to compare deposit accounts on an apples-to-apples basis. So deposit accounts would be one very, very simple area where just having standardized disclosures would do a lot to foster market efficiency.
Why would banks be against that? It would make life simple.
It would make life simple, and which would be one reason they'd be for it. On the other hand, having transparency in pricing means that there's more competition. And often actors in an industry don't like competition because competition means smaller profit margins.
What about on credit cards?
Credit cards are another area where I think disclosure, reform of disclosures is going to be a major focus of the CFPB. Elizabeth Warren has spoken about trying to have a one- or two-page credit card disclosure form, and that's something that the CFPB transition team is already looking into is already working on.
Opposition there, same reason, because if you know what's in it, you're going to have to compete. The banks will have to compete more hotly for the business?
Exactly. That if you look at credit card advertising, it's almost never advertising about we have the lowest cost. It's advertising about we have the most rewards points, or you can get a picture of your kitten on the card. And that's not price competition. That's image competition. And that's a market that we want to move to having greater price competition.
So kittens on cards, though, it may be frivolous, but it doesn't sound like abuse of consumers. Are American consumers being abused in the credit card realm?
Not by kittens on cards, of course. There are areas that Congress really cleaned up shop in the credit card realm in 2009 with the Credit Card Act. That was the first piece of financial reform regulation after the financial crisis. And Congress got rid of some of the most abusive problems in the credit card space for consumer credit cards. Unfortunately, card issuers have started migrating a lot of consumers to what are called business cards. And as long as you can in some way say that you are a small business, that you have any income of your own, and of course it's never really verified, all the rules of the Credit Card Act don't apply. It's the Wild West then.
I've seen those in the mail. Mortgages, what about there? What's the protection that you see as needed?
Well, Congress, again, took a lot of the initial steps on mortgages with the Dodd-Frank Act. There's a whole section of the Dodd-Frank Act that starts to clean up the mortgage market.
But the whole act is still under attack.
That's right. And a major part of the act is going to be implementing regulations. So Congress kind of paints in broad strokes and then leaves it up to the agencies to fill in the details. And on mortgages, I think we're going to see things like regulation of mortgage brokers, for example, clarifying what duties they have to consumers. So many consumers believe that mortgage brokers, people who they go and say, find me the right mortgage, they believe that those brokers owed them fiduciary duties, that they had a duty of loyalty to them. And otherwise, they wouldn't have gone and hired them. That's the reason they hired them, is to find someone who's going to work for them.
But the fact is they didn't have that duty.
At least they didn't think they had that duty. Mm-hmm. And the brokers often steered consumers not to the best loan for the consumer, but to the loan that paid the broker the most.
So, I mean, if you look back on the whole subprime mess that really sparked our descent into the fiasco of 2008, doesn't that cry out for regulation? Or is that people giving consumers what they want, and it's the consumer's job to sort of decide whether they should take that risky loan or not?
Ultimately, the choice has to rest with the consumer, but you want to make sure that when the consumer is deciding, the consumer has complete information and that the consumer understands the price, the consumer understands the risks, and understands how this product is going to work. And that has not always been the case. Some of the mortgage products that were around, such as payment option adjustable rate mortgages, these were pick-a-pay mortgages, are very complex products. It would take me several minutes to explain exactly how they work. And many consumers didn't understand the risks they were getting into with those, and they've been finding themselves losing their homes over that.
Let me hear from a couple of listeners right here. Jane in Salem, Massachusetts. Jane, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say that I'm a working class person. I actually am an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I use all of these products. I have a mortgage. I have a bank account. I have a checking account. I have a credit card. I've co-signed for two of my adult children.
Mm-hmm.
student loans, and I'm incredibly frustrated. I think things need to be fair and clear. I'm a total fan of Elizabeth Warren, and I'm just completely frustrated that folks are not supportive of her and that bailouts go to all these people who are not, who are, if at least misleading, if not unbelievably dishonest and unethical in their behavior in terms of financial products in America. And the rest of us who are working people trying to do the right thing are basically completely ignored. And one last comment I just wanted to say, my parents had six children, and three of us became attorneys. Mm-hmm. I have two children, and my daughter is about to finish college in about a year, taking tons of loans. And my son took a year off because he was very hesitant to take the loans. And I work full time, so I'm willing to help them. And I tell them, gee, over 10 years you can pay this off, don't panic. But honestly, I don't see there being any support for the working class people who are being responsible. And I look around and everybody use their house as a piggy bank and have huge credit card debt. And honestly, the responsible Americans, we don't know who to vote for.
Jane, let me ask you, do you think that these days, you're an attorney, I mean, can you operate in our financial system with some confidence or trust? Do you feel as though you can, that you're dealing with an ethical industry?
No, I don't. And I'm very careful about my mortgage, about my credit card. And even after I read all the crap, you know, those 30, 40 pages, I'm thinking, I'm sure there's some little catch somewhere. And I'm an attorney. You know, and I really do try to stay up on everything. You know, and I work full time.
We got it, Jane. I appreciate your call very much, and thank you for it. Adam Leventon, please stand by. Joining us right now from New York is Lynn Barr. She's a partner at the law firm Goodwin Procter. She's chair of the firm's consumer financial services practice. Her clients include banks, brokerage houses, mortgage companies. She's former chair of the American Banker Association's Consumer Financial Services Committee. Lynn Barr, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Good to be here.
It's great to have you. You hear our caller right there, ordinary citizen who happens to be an attorney. She says she just doesn't feel like she can trust ethical behavior. I doubt she's against competition, but she doesn't trust she can find ethical behavior in the American financial industry that she faces. Does that suggest to you, Lynn, that Elizabeth Warren's right, that we need to get in here and clean it up tough?
Well, I'd be the first person to admit that there were many abuses in the consumer financial services field, but at the same time, there are very many, many ethical players, from small local community banks in Massachusetts where I practice to the very large players. There were certainly some bad players out there.
But isn't that the job of government? Maybe you don't think it is, but isn't it the job of government to weed out the bad players, to have regulations in effect so that the good ones aren't, you know, besmirched by the bad ones, so consumers can have some faith in the whole, or not, Lynn?
I absolutely believe that government has a role here and has had a role for 30 years, and more in the case of things like mortgage lending.
But look what happened, subprime mortgages and an economic meltdown. I mean, if it had was it an adequate role?
I think it was adequate in its structure. I think it wasn't appropriately funded at a federal level. I think there was a lack of ability on the part of the states to go in and regulate mortgage lenders in particular. I certainly think that there were opportunities to do a lot better than they did. And I'm not opposed to the agency at all.
But you want a completely different structure for it, a structure Elizabeth Warren says would kill it. Others say cripple it.
Yeah, I know that that's the view, but I believe that it will make it stronger, because if you had people with different points of view on a board, such as the FDIC, from different parties, it will be a less political organization, and it will be better able to serve consumers.
Adam,
and it'll have a more balanced view of the market.
Adam Leventon, why have such a strong director at the top? We've just got half a minute. We'll come back to it. But get us started. Why not a board, a bipartisan board?
Because the CFPB needs to exist as a counterweight to the strongest of the federal bank regulators. That's the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, which has a single director. The comptroller's office sees its mission as being bank safety and soundness. That's not a technical term. It just means bank profitability. A bank that is not safe and sound isn't a bank that's not profitable. If you're not profitable, you're not safe and sound. So we need the OCC, the comptroller, has often been very aggressive in pushing banks' interests ahead of consumers' interests. And we need to have the CFPB have a single director to balance out the power of the comptroller.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about American finance and the little guy. It is today, the official day one for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Its founder, Elizabeth Warren, is out, not nominated to be its director. It's still got no director, and it's under attack. Republicans say it needs a whole different structure. Lynn Barr is with us. She's a lawyer at Goodwin Procter in New York. Clients include banks, brokerage houses, mortgage companies. Adam Levitin is with us from Georgetown Law School, former student of, then an assistant to Elizabeth Warren. Ed in Stanton, Virginia, thanks for calling, Ed. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi. How are you?
Very well. What do you think?
Hey, what I think is that so often these initiatives at the government level, here lately has been Republicans, you know, to suppress, prevent consumer protection, consumer awareness, and the like, is self-defeating. It literally prevents us from moving to a society where you can have true consumer choice, where you can actually choose an insurance plan that actually works for you and won't trip you up,
mm-hmm.
that you can choose an actual annuity that's going to actually pay out, and that you can actually go out and compare these on a fair and even way and make an honest, intelligent consumer choice. So that for me, at least, the consumer protections, mm-hmm. The consumer awareness, you know, are literally the bedrock of consumer choice. And that to talk consumer choice and then say, oh, but, you know, the banks are going to hold all the cards, or, yeah, consumer choice, but, you know, that guy you're doing, the broker, he's not really a broker. Broker doesn't mean he works for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is completely self-defeating.
Hey, Ed, stick with us for just a second here. Stick with us, Ed, there in Virginia. Lynn Barr, what do you say to our caller, Ed?
Hang
on, Ed. I want to hear from Lynn, if we could, in New York for a second here. Lynn?
I don't think the banks hold all the cards. I think that there are lots of opportunities for consumers to understand the terms of their credit cards, for example, where there is a one-page advertising disclosure that's in a big chart, huge type, where consumers, in fact, can learn the costs and compare one credit card to another.
But when banks are spending 20, 30, 40, 50 million, I think, last year or around this regulation process in lobbying, isn't that a lot of cards to hold?
It's nothing compared to the cost of what they had to pay to comply with the CARD Act and to be told by the people at the Bureau that there's going to be a new round of changes. Unfortunately, those changes end up getting translated into higher costs for consumers. And studies have shown that costs of credit cards, for example, are now higher for consumers than they were before the CARD Act.
Adam Levitin, do we need changes in order to have clarity, the kind of clarity our caller Ed is asking for consumers, or is that just extra costs that are going to get loaded on to consumers in the end?
In the end, clarity is going and transparency in the market and pricing is going to lower costs for consumers. And I would take issue with Lynn Barr's characterization of the effect of the Credit Card Act on credit card pricing, that you cannot simply look at credit card pricing before and after the CARD Act and say everything that changed was because of the CARD Act. We've also had changes dealing with that stem from the, you know, rampant bank failures and the financial crisis that had nothing whatsoever to do with the CARD Act. And if you look at the all-in pricing of credit cards, which is a term you never can see on a credit card disclosure, what will it cost you to use this card in a certain way over a certain period of time? If you look at that, I don't think that we have seen changes. We've seen one component, the purchase interest rate, that looks higher, but other components have changed, and it doesn't make sense just to compare one piece of the pricing before the CARD Act and after the CARD Act. The only sensible comparison, which I don't know of any study doing, is the all-in cost comparison.
Ed in Virginia, Lynn Barr says, look, banks don't hold all the cards. What do you say, Ed?
I think they hold way more cards than we want. Now, it could be, and I think this is part of it, is that, one, many consumers are just dumb. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. but that they're not up to understanding the level of complexity. You know, the five-page credit card statement or whatever. And as an aside, my credit card has an interest of 7.25%.
Nice.
And has had a similar amount for that before the change and after the change. There may have been a subtle change in there, something else, but that part for me has not changed.
But you shouldn't have to be a genius, should you, to understand what you're getting into with a mortgage?
Well, that's kind of a point. And actually, I was taking the point really beyond just the simple daily bank exchanges to, you know, if we really want people to get ready for their retirement, to not go bankrupt on their home, you know, all those things, or to be able to buy their own health care, all of that is going to require an industry we want in America are industries that in the long run will assure that the consumer gets the best bet. We don't want it loaded. You know, if you go to arbitration, it will be their arbitrator who has never voted against them. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Yep.
And I'm not just speaking, again, just to a bank. But in general, that's what it is. You're required to use their arbiter.
Yeah, don't load the system.
They never vote for the consumer, you know, that kind of thing.
Don't load the system against the consumer. Lynn Barr, handicap this for us. There are people out here saying, you know, that Cordray's nomination is dead on arrival, let alone, that's Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas, let alone Elizabeth Warren. Do you think that this nominee is ever going to be confirmed? Do you think this agency will ever be up and really in operation with its current structure, Lynn?
I don't think he'll be confirmed anytime soon. I agree with Kate that certainly a reset and Adam, that a recess appointment is probably the next thing we're going to see. One of the problems, as Kate clearly identified, with the current structure is that there is no one else at the agency that has been subject to Senate confirmation. And if the structure were different, we would not be in this no man's land. Neither consumers nor the industry would be sort of stuck with this agency that only has a fraction of the powers it's supposed to have.
Lynn Barr at Goodwin Procter, representing banks and brokerage houses, mortgage companies out of New York. Lynn, thank you very much for joining us for a few minutes today.
Thank you, Tom.
What about it, Adam Levitin? You began to say before the break that they need a single leader at the top, but you can see Republicans, and bankers, I guess, some, are worried that would put too much power in the hands of one director. What about that argument and concern, Adam? And would politicize things too much, Lynn said.
Sure. Unfortunately, I think it's a really disingenuous argument that Republicans are looking to smother the CFPB in its crib under the guise of oversight and accountability. And no one can object to oversight and accountability, but the method in which you do it determines the effectiveness of the agency. And Republicans are basically trying to copy features from other federal bank regulators. And that doesn't make a lot of sense, given that those other regulators are the ones that failed in their missions before the crisis. So they're trying to copy inefficient oversight structures and apply them selectively to the CFPB. The CFPB has a different oversight structure than other federal bank regulators, but it's ultimately a stronger oversight structure. There's no other agency, a federal bank regulator, that is subject to a veto by other regulators. That's something that's unheard of in federal government. And in fact, its constitutionality is not clear. Another thing Republicans are trying to do is subject the CFPB's budget to appropriations. No other federal bank regulator is currently subject to appropriations.
So if they didn't like what was going on there, they could put the brakes on their cash flow.
That's right. That if the CFPB starts showing its teeth too much, that they'd yank on the funding leash. That's something that Republicans did very effectively to the FTC around 1980, and after that, the FTC really ceased to be as effective of a consumer protection regulator as it had previously been.
Adam Levitin, stand by for just a moment there, if you would. I want to go in just a second here to Robert Weissman with the Public Citizen, the Consumer Advocacy Group in Washington. Call or two here first. Des Moines, Iowa. Joe Henry, you're in Des Moines. You're on.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, I just wanted to say I wish Elizabeth Warren would have been the one appointed, because she's been the one to really make things happen, make it really clear that things could be simple. But as a realtor, you know, I do about 50 transactions every year. with my clients who are either buying their first home or their second home. The mortgage documentation, which is now about 50 pages of documents that they have to sign, my clients have to sign at time of closing, is just way beyond what is necessary. Those documents cannot be understood, even by most lawyers. But yet, at the time of closing, we spend about 30 minutes quickly signing through 50 pages of documents.
So would simplifying or cleaning those up be good for the economy or bad for the economy and banking, Joe Henry?
If we could simplify those documents, it would be good for the economy because those documents are very intimidating to buyers.
Joe, our time is short here. Forgive me, but I want to get Robert Weissman in. I appreciate that perspective right there as from a realtor's point of view, sitting there in Des Moines going through that paperwork. You say you wish Elizabeth Warren were still out front leading it. Robert Weissman is with us right now. He's president of Public Citizen, consumer advocacy group based in Washington. Robert Weissman, thanks for joining us. We've heard you say the same thing, but President Obama apparently made a calculation that she couldn't get through. Do you think he was wrong to drop her nomination, Mr. Weissman?
Hey, Tom. It's good to be with you. Yes, we certainly think it was a mistake not to appoint Elizabeth Warren to run the consumer agency that she conceived and helped stand up. It's based around a set of ideas that she is the single best exponent of, which is that the financial markets have to work for American consumers and American families. They're not intended to drive the profitability of banks and Wall Street. The purpose of them has to be, at the end of the day, to help American consumers. And she explains that in ways that no one else can. So it would have been appropriate and proper and ideal for the president to nominate her for the position. And if they had a fight in the Senate, I think that's a fight that he should have welcomed because it would have been Senate Republicans defending Wall Street against an administration that was defending the interests of American consumers with the single best spokesperson they could have.
But our president presents himself as a pragmatist. He might say, if he were here, I don't know, that, you know, look, Bob, she couldn't get the confirmed, and so the agency would never have been fully up and in gear, and I want these, you know, I want it to be up and in gear. So let's go to somebody else.
Right. Well, then backup plan was to recess appoint her. I mean, that said, he's now appointed Rich Cordray, whose strong record of consumer protection in Ohio has done a very good job in the months he's been in D.C., working with the CFPB and working with Elizabeth Warren. Of course, he's going to face, as you've been discussing, he's going to face exactly the same opposition from Wall Street and the Senate Republicans. And the president, if he's going to actually get someone in, if he's going to get Cordray in, is almost certainly going to have to recess appoint him. But we're glad at least that someone has been finally chosen for the position, and we're going to eagerly support him.
Robert Weissman, why do you think the president backed off this nomination? If it, your calculation is that it would have been better off to have the fight, if that's what it came to, because it would have sort of laid out the interests and parties in play here. Why do you think he didn't go that way?
Well, I think he's going to have very similar fight with Rich Cordray as he would have had with Elizabeth Warren. But I think picking Warren would have been a signal. I mean, from our point of view, it would have been a very positive signal to the American public, and I think he would have generated enormous support for her. But it also really would have been a statement that he was ready to have a confrontation with Wall Street. And I think going into the 2012 election, that's exactly what he's trying to avoid.
So there's a signal in a different direction, a kind of friendlier signal to Wall Street? What, for campaign contributions? What?
Yes.
Adam Levenden, what do you make of that analysis?
It's hard to disagree with it.
Is it working? Do you see Wall Street warming up to the president? They were, they haven't all, you know, they were on his side, then they weren't on his side. I mean, Can you play these politics and win?
I don't think we're going to see banks jumping out and embracing Richard Cordray. That he's shown in his time as the Ohio Attorney General, he's shown himself to be a very strong advocate for consumers. But Elizabeth Warren did touch a particular nerve within the financial services community, in part because she was so articulate and so willing to point out transgressions.
Thomas in Somerville, Massachusetts. Thomas, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I consider the failure to appoint Elizabeth Warren as director of the new agency a litmus test on Obama's presidency. I voted for Obama because I thought he was going to be a genuine reformer on the order of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. and that he would give us a new deal, a totally different way of governing, and set America on a different course. Of course, he hasn't done that. And in fact, he has shown himself to be the new Herbert Hoover, if we can compare him to any president, former president. I think that he should really, as a fallback position, perhaps appoint the former CEO of Bear Stearns. And then, of course, the Republicans, I think, would be happy. One other point. Obama talks incessantly about the middle class. Does he mean people who are making less than $100 million a month or so? I don't understand his definition of the middle class.
Thomas, I think we've got that perspective, and you're not really thrilled with the presidents right now. Robert Weissman, what about it here? In terms of changing the economic culture that led us into near catastrophe in 2008, where are we in turning that wheel? Are we on the way, or could it all just be the status quo? Does it put us at risk of going back there?
No, it's very hard to say we've had a fundamental transformation. I think in a lot of ways I have to agree with the caller. If you look at the Wall Street Reform Act, the Dodd-Frank legislation that came out, the broad response to Wall Street crashing the economy, throwing 8 million people out of work, driving us into the worst recession we've had in 70 years, for which we have not recovered. It is the underpinning of why we're having this debate now over the debt crisis, actually. The response was a long piece of legislation that included a lot of good stuff, but very few things that fundamentally changed or had the possibility of changing the way the financial markets work and reducing Wall Street's power. This single most important piece, positive piece of the legislation, was the creation of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and it is now under assault. Probably the second most important piece was introduction of transparency in the derivatives market, so at least regulators could figure out what's going on. And there, too, the ability of the agencies to actually implement what was commanded by Dodd-Frank is very much in doubt as Wall Street continues to lobby to undercut the agencies, to defund the agencies, to block implementation of the rules that are called for by Dodd-Frank.
Well, the fight is still on when it comes to American finance. I guess we will be watching and watching closely. Robert Weissman with Public Citizen, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Adam Levitin at Georgetown Law School, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.